I'm going to lead us in a quick prayer, please. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you tell us in your word, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to cleanse us. You're faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. Help us to do that today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, I'm not an actor. I never claimed to be. My family could tell you that. But I do want to tell you, sometimes a movie, when a script is written or a book is written, there's an emotional purse string within you that author wants to touch. So I'm going to give you an example, and we're going to be like we're in school. Right at the end, nobody shout the answer out, but I'm going to give you a word from one movie, one scene, and I'm going to predict that over half of you are going to know the movie, okay? And I'm not a good actor, okay? So I'm going to give you a word, and then after I give you that word, I want you to raise your hand if you know the movie, okay? All right? Freedom! All right, what is that movie? Braveheart. Okay. I wasn't quite half. Some of you, I think, knew it. How many of you knew that? Raise your hand, really. Okay. It wasn't quite half, man. All right. Maybe better. We need a better actor. Okay. Why does that scene resonate so strong with us? You know, in America, and really in society in general, just not in America, we love our freedom. We want freedom to think, to say, believe, go, and behave in a way that we exactly believe that we should do it. And we really don't want to answer to anyone. We don't want to compromise our beliefs, and we don't really want to talk about changing our beliefs in our society. So what does the Bible say about freedom? You know, there's good news. We do have freedom. But the bad news for our society, the freedom is so much different from the freedom that we have in our society today. You know, men and women are lauded in our society when they choose their own path. They refuse to accept no standard. They refuse to go their own way and acknowledge there's no right or wrong. It's only the path that they determine. And those people are the ones. If you watch any, listen to any radio or listen to television, those are the people. So let's see what the Bible said. Remember now, this is confession. It's not a sermon. We're going to go over a lot of rich verses, but that Mark would probably spend a sermon on, just a couple of them. But we're trying to get to a point of confession. So let's start in Romans 8. When you get to Romans, keep your place there because we're going to come back. Some of you are still trying to get over my acting skills, I can tell. All right. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. All right, let's flip. Keep some little marker in there. So now let's flip to Galatians chapter 5. Going to go to the right just a little bit. We're going to start in verse 1. Still on this concept of freedom. Verse 1, it says, Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves are eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Real quick, they were trying to, in the new church, they were trying to add to the gospel. They were trying to add circumcision as part of salvation. They were trying to add works. So from our society right now, people say, yeah, man, this sounds good. You know, we get freedom. We don't have to accept the things from the past. We can chart our own path. But let's keep reading. Let's go on down to verses 13 through 15 of the same chapter. It says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. I think of our society today. So you cannot use that freedom to violate others. All right, now let's go back. Let's go back to Romans 8. And we're going to look at verses 5 through 12. We're going to travel a lot of verses today, but we're going to hit them fast. So we're going to pick back up in Romans 8 and verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. For if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. So let me read that. Then, brothers, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. So we're not supposed to live to the flesh. All right? And our freedom in Christ is now not to depend on my flesh and to do what my flesh wants. My freedom in Christ is to have freedom. My acceptance, my worth is totally upon grace. It's not anything I do, but I don't use that freedom to indulge my flesh. So let's look at let's go to 1 Corinthians now. Chapter 8. I told you we were going to read a lot of verses, but that's good. The Bible's good. We're going to get to a point, I promise. All right, we're going to read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians. I think it's so important. Because Paul is going to explore this concept of freedom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Listen to this now. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Man, that's a deep verse there. Wow. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or in earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through Him, through whom all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience becoming weak is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. Okay, Paul, real quick here. Paul says, look, people are getting upset. There's food. People have idols, and they sacrifice those animals. Then they go sell the meat in the market. They sell the meat at the restaurant. Some people eat it. Paul says, listen, you don't know the truth. It's not really a big deal. Okay? What you eat's not going to, that's not the really big thing here. Okay, so really Paul says if you go buy meat that was sacrificed to idol, it's not really a sin. And you know, Paul, that's the Holy Spirit through Paul, so it's not. But now listen to where Paul carries this. Think about freedom in our society and think about what the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged? If his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols, and so by your knowledge this weak person is destroyed, the brother from whom Christ died, thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. So Paul's saying this, listen. Paul's saying, look, even if somebody's wrong, I'm not going to use my freedom in Christ to violate their conscience and upset them. Now think about society. Does society say that? That's totally contrary to what we do in our society. I'm not going to use my freedom to hurt you. We'll end with this. Flip over to 1 Corinthians 7, one chapter over, verses 22 and 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22. For he who called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You are bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. And Paul's saying, you know what a bondservant is, right? A bondservant is somebody what? They earn their freedom. They receive their freedom. But they choose to do what? They choose to stay with the master out of their free will. And matter of fact, if so happened, what would they do? They would take their ear and they would go to the door frame and they would pierce their ear on the door frame to signify that they would stay with the master. So we're supposed to be what? A bond servant of Christ. You know, Mark has led us through some sermons where submission has been discussed. But I'm going to tell you something. Submission is a wide topic. You know what? Because every day you and I are supposed to submit to the Holy Spirit. Every day, we're supposed to not use our freedom in Christ to violate our brothers. Every day, we're supposed to say, not my will, but your will. And I will tell you, my nature, I don't know about your nature, but my nature doesn't submit. I'm not naturally a person that can submit. And I will tell you this, as a leader of an organization, people don't naturally submit either, all right? I'm going to go out on a limb here and tell you I'm not the only one that struggles with that, okay? But when Mark preached on that submission, we do not use our freedom to hurt our brothers. And if we use our freedom to violate the conscience of our brothers, then we sin against them. So I tell you what I want you to think about. I want you to think about last week, and I want you to think about the upcoming week. And there will be times where your flesh wants to do one thing and the spirit wants to do other. And you'll be encouraged by your flesh to use your freedom and don't worry about what others think. But we are supposed to die to ourselves, die to our flesh, and say yes to the spirit. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, first of all, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that Christ has set us free. But Lord, help us to willingly become a bondservant. Lord, help us to give up our freedom and be a slave of Jesus Christ. Help us to surrender to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us never to be a rebel who has to do things our own way, that won't submit to the word, won't submit to the feelings of our brothers, Lord. We just have to have it our way. Lord, we don't have to have it our way. Because if we had it our way, Lord, we'd go to hell. So, Lord, help us to be filled with love and help us never to use our freedom to hurt our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.